Let us turn again to the passage of God's Word, which we read together in the first epistle of John, chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Well, surely that is an amazing statement. We are sinners. And apart from God's grace, apart from God's salvation, we are on our way to a lost eternity. We need to be saved from our sin. We need to be saved from all our sin. We need to be saved from all our guilt. We need to be saved from all our pollution. And we can't make one hair black or white. We can't make our souls any whiter. We are lost. And yet, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's hope. And whatever else we should be laying hold of, we should be laying hold of this, that there is hope. And the way of salvation is set before us, time and again in the Word of God, even in the under the Old Testament way of worship. Sinners were pointed to the provision that God has made. Sinners were pointing forward in time, that is. They were taught through sacrifice, and they were taught through various forms of teaching. And we know that Abel obtained mercy. There was this significant difference, so significant, between his way of worship and his brother's. Abel obtained mercy. Cain did not. Cain just offered what was handiest, I suppose, is what you have to say. He was a farmer, not a farmer of livestock, but Abel was. But Abel didn't offer a lamb because it was handy. He offered it because it was part of the revelation that his parents had been given. And you see, the blood of that animal was pointing to how sin could be forgiven. As far as Abel was concerned, the significant matter was that God had revealed. God had revealed what should be known, what had to be known about the way of salvation. And he followed it. He was obedient to it. He sought grace and he obtained grace. And that's how it has to be with us. We are to seek grace. And if we seek grace, we will obtain grace. May we believe that. If we seek grace, we will obtain grace. Oh, sinner, if you are serious at all about your soul, if you are feeling your need of salvation, take that into your head, if I can put it like that. Take that in and put it out again, so to speak. And what I mean is, pour out your heart accordingly in prayer. Use the form of words that was said. You have Jacob using it, perhaps in a quite different context, but it's a good way to speak to the Most High that was said. And here are words that you can use in that way. Thou hast said, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Is that not good news in a lost world? If someone was in danger, say in a bad storm, the news comes that it is forecasted for that particular area of sea that the wind is going to go down. And the news goes round the ship. What good news that would be. The wind's going to go down. The wind's not going to stay up for long now. There's hope that we'll get safety to land. What good news? Well, what we have is this. There's good news for a lost world. There's good news for me, a sinner. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Take that with you. Mull over it. And keep saying before the great God of eternity that thou hast said that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. We're not to despair. We're not to despair. And I'm sure I've said it before. It was obviously something much in his mind. Reverend D.B. MacLeod, when I was studying with him, he mentioned on more than one occasion, we have no right to despair. We have no right to give up hope about our souls in particular, or something of a spiritual nature. We have no right to give up hope when we have this coming in front of us, or matters of a similar nature. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Now I know I have taken this text before here, but it is such a central and such an important verse. Something that should so influence us that I come back to it this evening. Yes, and we'll try to say a little about it with God's help. May he grant that help. We are insufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. We are all insufficient of ourselves to make use of this truth, to apply it to ourselves, to get good from it. And the preacher is insufficient of himself to think anything of himself by way of setting the truth before you that can be drawn out of this verse. Well, let us make 3 points this evening. The first is sin. And the second is Christ as a substitute. Christ taking the place of sinners that he might suffer in that place and make it possible suffer all that was necessary for the salvation of sinners, to suffer all that was necessary so that there would be cleansing from all sin, that the person who believes in Christ, and that should be before our minds, that should be a great matter for us, that should be a great desire for us, that we would be cleansed from all sin through the blood of Christ. And let us keep this in mind, that what has been pointed to here, what's the idea between the blood? When is the blood poured out? When was the blood poured out in the various sacrifices that were offered? It's at the time of death. And what is being pointed to in connection with the blood of Christ here is the death of Christ. The death of Christ leads to the cleansing of sin. You see, there are things in Scripture that in a sense, are elementary, or perhaps a better word to use would be fundamental. Here's a fundamental truth, a vital truth. Nothing can be more important. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And that's what I want to point to in the second place, that this is referring to Christ as the substitute for sinners, the one who died instead. And then in the third place, this is a complete salvation. It really cleanses. It cleanses completely. That's it. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. First, sin. Second, Christ is a substitute for sinners. And third, it's a complete salvation. Not a part salvation. That's impossible when the work of God is involved. But it's a complete salvation. In every sinner with whom the Lord takes to do in a saving way, they will be completely cleansed. The power of sin will be completely eliminated. The guilt of sin will be completely removed in the end. The guilt of sin, we may go over that as we go on. The guilt of sin is removed at once. Once a sinner believes, then there is continuing sin. And that sin is not imputed to them. That sin is not laid to their charge. And you see, the power of sin, the pollution of sin, that is removed gradually. Until at the moment of the sinner's death, the sinner who has believed in Jesus, that sin is finally removed. Well, sin. And we are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We sinned in Adam. Oh, what a sad tale it is that we are told in Genesis 3. Adam sinned, and we sinned in him. But you see, it wasn't just Adam who sinned and Eve. It's this, that all have come into this world guilty. Yes, all came into this world guilty. But you see, there's a provision. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And that includes original sin. That includes the guilt. All the guilt of our own lives. And it includes the guilt of Adam's first transgression, which was imputed to us. What poor creatures we are in coming into this world as part of a poor race of human beings, defiled by sin. The nice little child, newly born. But that child is a problem. That child, attractive though it is, and seemingly innocent. But that child is guilty. That child is guilty of Adam's first transgression. So we need to be asking God that the blood of Jesus Christ would cleanse us from all our sin. And that includes the guilt of Adam's first transgression. And what about the prospect? What about the prospect? It might be a significant question for someone who is getting medical attention. But What's the prognosis? How are things going to turn out? What do you expect will happen? How long do you think it might be before a cure will take effect? All sorts of questions like that might arise. And so it is, as far as sin is concerned. What's the prognosis? I'm a sinner. And yes, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. I suppose that's the main element in the prognosis. But we must make use of the medicines that are available for any particular disease. When we're prescribed, whatever it might be, for our souls, for our bodies, I meant, we've got to take the medicine. Well, we need to take the medicine for our souls. We need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, at the moment, what I'm trying to stress is the need we have of getting good from the gospel. You see, the wages of sin is death. And it's not just, there's exceptions, of course, but in general, it's not just that sin has consequences. It's that sometimes we earn the consequences. The diseases that some people have, it's because they were willful, it's because they were rebellious, it's because they were unwise in the way they lived their lives. But you see, as far as the wages of sin, it's because we're guilty. It's because we have transgressed. It's because we have sinned. Why are sinners sent down to a lost eternity? Well, it's the wages of their sin. It's the result of their sin. Yes. And what's God's standard? Where do you start calling wrongdoing sin? Well, you start at the beginning. And cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. Every transgression, every breaking of the law deserves punishment. God is angry with the sinner every day. God is ready to punish because of the sin of which we are guilty. But there's a provision, as our text makes plain. The blood of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, cleanses from all sin. The death of Jesus Christ. He's a substitute. Ah, what a provision. That God should make a provision for sinners like us. You see, the Father laid on Christ the iniquities, says Isaiah, of us all. Of all who believed on God providing salvation. The death of Christ, the death of the Messiah, who was to come in the fullness of time, who was to come as a substitute for sinners. He was the substitute. And when Isaiah was speaking like that, he hadn't seen the Messiah. He wasn't to see him with the eyes of his body. Simeon, an Old Testament believer, had this promise that he would see the Christ. But you see, that was exceptional, and that wasn't necessary for him to have salvation. It was a special blessing that Simeon got. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. That was it. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Mine eyes have seen the Saviour, the one who came into the world to save sinners, the one who was to die as a sacrifice. You see, that was very prominent in the Old Testament worship. That worship, I'm thinking of particularly of the people coming to offer up a sacrifice. Why a lamb or a bullock or whatever it might be? Why? The bullock or the lamb or whatever it might be was a substitute. That animal was to die. It was to die instead of the guilty person. Yes. There would be hope. You see, a believing Israelite might say, I was at the temple today. I brought my sacrifice. Well, I had to look past the sacrifice. I had to look on into the future. I couldn't trust in the Lamb itself. But, you see, there was a substitute. It was a divinely appointed substitute. And how clear that was in connection with Abram. Abram had a ram. He was to offer up Isaac. But the Lord stopped that in kindness, in his way of provision, in his provision of a substitute. You see, Abram could say, I didn't provide that sacrifice. God provided it. God will provide himself a lamb. That was his thinking on the way to the place of sacrifice when Isaac asked the difficult question. There was the wood, there was the fire, there was everything. But something crucial was missing. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb? There can't be a sacrifice without an animal. There can't be the putting away of sin apart from the shedding of blood. Where's the animal whose blood is to be shed? Abram has spiritual wisdom, and he says, God will provide himself a ram. That was it. God will provide. And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. God provided. You see, when we're surveying all this ground, and I'm in practical terms only surveying a little of the ground that is set before us in the scriptures. You see, it's only a little that we can see, that in it all, you see, as far as sin being put away, it's God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide. And if you are looking for the salvation of your soul, if you are seeking for that, you might well ask, Lord, provide a lamb for me. Point me to the lamb that has been provided. Point me in my soul to the great provision. There's a lamb, the Bible tells me that. But may I lay hold of it? That's a great matter. God has provided a lamb, or a ram. God has provided. And what we are to be wanting, what we are to be seeking is this. Oh Lord, enable me to stretch out the hand of my soul and to lay hold on that substitute. Christ is a substitute. And what a substitute. There were rams and lambs and animals that couldn't take away sin. None of them could. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Seek grace from God to stretch out your hand. To stretch out your hand now. Do not hold back. The Lord is calling. Oh, may we all, by God's grace, stretch out the hand of faith and take the provision that God has made. There's the provision. Yes. Are you stretching out your hand yourself? Or are you seeking to stretch out the hand of your soul? Are you asking, "Oh Lord, make me able to stretch out the hand of my soul. I am needy, I am a sinner, and the wages of sin is death, and I need to be delivered from the wrath to come. And I've been told that there is a way of salvation, that there is a substitute, and I need to lay hold of Christ as a substitute." That's it. That's what we need. That's what I need. That's what you need. Yes. That we would stretch out the hand of our soul. And what do I mean by that? Let me put it in use another term. Let me, by faith, receive Christ as a great and suitable Saviour. Let me let you, by faith, receive Christ as the one who came into the world. Why? Why? To save sinners. What did he come to do in particular? Well, there was this at the very center of that work. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Do you need salvation? What do you say to that? Do you say, "Of course I do"? Have you seen in any degree the anger of God going out against you? What you need is a propitiation, and that is mentioned at the beginning of chapter 2, verse 2. He is the propitiation for our sins. What's that pointing to? A propitiation. It's this, a sacrifice that can turn away the anger of God. You see, the curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. There's a curse. It's the anger of God hanging over the sinner. Is there hope that that curse can be removed? Ah, yes. Paul can say, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, be made a curse for us." A curse in our place, you see? Substitution in our place. And in so many ways, we are pointed to substitution. I've been speaking a bit about the sacrifices and how clearly the matter of substitution is set before us there. Well, we need a substitute. We need one to suffer in our place. You go to the Lord and ask, "Lord, show me a substitute that is able to stand in my place. When I am under the curse of God, when I need a propitiation, Lord, grant to show me the provision that I was made. And enable me by faith to stretch out my hand and lay hold of Christ." Christ is a substitute. His blood cleanses from all sin. How much is set before us? How often it is set before us? Keep going back to the teachings of Scripture about Christ as a substitute. Seek the Lord, seek Christ, you see. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek Christ. Be seeking to put your hand on the head of the sacrifice. That's what someone would do. It's the head at the beginning of the book of Leviticus. Someone bringing a substitute, a lamb or whatever it was, to the temple. And he might say to the priest, "I'm a sinner. I need a substitute. I brought a substitute. Will you offer up this animal?" And may the Lord enable me to stretch forth my hand and lay it on the head of this animal, and that there would be spiritual activity in my soul in connection with laying my hand on this animal, in connection with laying my hand on this animal. Spiritual activity. Faith. That the Lord would give us faith. Faith is the gift of God. And we're to be seeking that the Lord would work in our souls, that the Lord would give us grace. And he is able. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is too hard. Everything is too hard for us. But nothing is too hard for the Lord. There's hope. I was trying to encourage sinners already today, trying to stress the fact that salvation is possible. Salvation is possible. We're to seek by faith to lay hold on that. Christ is a Savior for sinners. Christ is a Savior suitable for us. Christ is a substitute. The one who came into the world to save sinners. And that's what we're being pointed to. Yes, Paul has said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has delivered us, you could say, from the curse of the law, though. The idea of redemption, or the word redemption, includes the price being paid. What's the price? Well, go back to our text. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Christ paid with his life. Christ paid with his blood. But what's that? I've answered the question already. But there's no harm in repeating myself a little. It's this. Christ paid with his blood. Christ paid with his life, in other words, so that there would be deliverance from sin. He paid the price that sin or God's justice demanded. Yes, Christ paid the price instead. Christ was a propitiation, offering up a sacrifice that would turn away the anger of God for the sinner. You see, to put substitution another way, to quote from 1 Peter 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. There's Peter speaking on his own behalf and on behalf of those who would read his epistle or hear it read. Christ once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, the just one in the place of unjust sinners, that he might bring us to God, that he might reconcile us to God. The guilt of sin, keeping sinners away from God. The blood of sin, the guilt of sin, and the punishment that was to follow, keeping sinners away from God. But Christ suffered that he might bring sinners to God. There's hope, there's salvation. Oh then, what are we to say? We're to ask that the Lord would apply the truth to us, apply the call of the gospel to us. Yes, we are told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Sinner, wherever you are, however far you may have wandered from God, however great the guilt that may be upon your conscience, however great that might be, that is standing between you and God, yet the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. There's a Saviour. There's a Saviour to whom we can go. There's a Saviour to whom we must go. Let us be in earnest about our souls. Let us be in earnest about escaping the wrath to come. Let us be in earnest about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be in earnest about the great provision that God has made for sinners like us. Oh, sinner, remember the guilt of your life. Remember how much there is that is keeping you away from God and keeping you out of heaven. But oh, remember that Christ is calling you. Remember that Christ is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How can I go to God, may be your question. How? What's this? The blood of Jesus Christ. See that as standing between you and the anger of God. Trust yourself to Christ as one who is able to save to the uttermost. That's what we're going on to now. Christ is a complete salvation. You see the great truth in Hebrews 7, that Christ is able to save to the uttermost, not just a little. We read of the woman. She was so bent, she could in no wise lift up herself. She could not to the uttermost lift up herself. However hard she tried, whatever plans she might make, whatever help she might seek from anyone, she was completely unable to lift up herself. And that's how it is with the sinner. The sinner is completely unable to raise himself or herself up. There's no possibility of salvation. There's no possibility of taking sin away. I'm not contradicting what I've said already. What I'm saying just now, there's no possibility of sin being taken away by our own efforts. Yes. We can in no wise, in no way, lift up ourselves. But you see, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Not just from a few sins, not just from the worst of our sins, or from the smallest of our sins, if we can measure these things. But Christ, making intercession, you see, the work of Christ is not over. As far as suffering for sin, as far as being the substitute for sin and taking its guilt upon himself, the work is finished. The work is finished. But you see, Christ is going on, presenting the merits of his death before the throne. Before the throne of God. Yes, that's what he's doing. He's coming before the Father and pointing to some particular sinners, to some particular group of sinners. And he is saying something to this effect. For the sake of what I did, for the sake of the blood I shed, take away this sin. For the sake of the blood I shed, take away this sin. Yes. And oh, should we not be asking, be thou a high priest intercessor for me. I'm so weak. I'm so hopeless. I have no hope in myself, but take another look and then say, there's hope in this, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. It's a complete salvation then. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a complete salvation. It's a complete forgiveness. All the sin of the sinner, all the sin of the sinner that is now believing, it can be washed away. It will be washed away. The moment that sinner believes, all that person's sin will be washed away. Washed away to the uttermost, you see. Yes. And when the end of that sinner's life comes, what then? What about their sin? What about their entrance into the eternal world? Will there be sin? Will there be sin still remaining as they pass into eternity? We're talking about the sinner that has believed. And the answer is no, not at all. There'll be nothing left, no guilt left. It's salvation to the uttermost. It's salvation, a complete salvation. Cleanses from all sin. Yes, and however, many sins there might be, still there's a complete clearance. God's ledger, if we can put it like that, God recording in his books all the sins of the sinner who then believes in Jesus. And what happens at the moment of that believing in Christ? It's this. It's all erased. It's all covered over. Yes, and that word was used in the Old Testament, sacrifices, that the sin was covered. And so it is through the blood of Christ applied, through the result of the work of Christ being applied. It's all covered. And nobody can take away the covering. Go looking for your own sin if you have believed. Where is the guilt? Where is it to be found? Oh, it cannot be found, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Yes. And we can think of what I've just been saying in these terms, that it's in verse 1, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You see, someone might be satisfied that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed away all his or her sin. The sins of the past, the sins of unconverted days. But the question might be, what about yesterday's sin? What about this morning's sin? Am I not likely to meet the guilt of these sins? Perhaps the question might be, when sin is being confessed in church, when I am on my knees before God, may I not, as it were, be confronted by my sin? May it not be a great barrier, but it's a complete salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. You see, there's the promise that those who have believed will never perish. You see, the forgiveness through the death of Christ. Am I liable? Is it liable to wear away? You might use some product or other, and it has a significant effect for a time. But the effects wear off. Will the effects of the forgiving power of Christ, will these wear off? Will I be confronted again with my sin? No, it cleanses completely from all sin. It goes on cleansing. Yes, that's it. We have so much set before us in connection with God's grace. We are to believe that the blood of Jesus Christ goes on cleansing, and what it has cleansed already can never be brought up against us ever again. We're not to think of it as some forgiveness that some erratic person might give us. And we can say, that's all right for today. But who knows what mood he'll be in tomorrow? Who knows how vindictive he might be tomorrow? There's nothing of that with Christ. There's nothing of that with God. When he forgives, he forgives. His forgiveness will never wear away. His willingness to take away the guilt of sin, it goes on. It will never be removed. It's permanent. The removal is permanent. The covering, as I think I said, that's permanent. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now that's what we are to rely on. Day after day, year after year. You see, the Lord doesn't say, thy sins be forgiven thee for today or for tomorrow. It's for all time future. It's for the whole of eternity. It's a complete forgiveness. That's what we are to believe. They shall never perish. The guilt of their sin will never come against them again. They will never meet it again. They may, in a sense, meet the guilt of their sin and their consciences. But when they are to be received into glory, no matter how often they might look back, they will not see the guilt of their sin again. It has been cleansed away. It has been washed away completely. Yes, the call comes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the one who died for sinners. Believe on the one who came that he might be a substitute. Trust in him for your own soul because of your own sins. Take Christ as a savior for yourself. An eternal salvation. This is an eternal salvation. And it's a complete salvation. Look to Christ. But remember that if you believe not, you shall all likewise perish. This is if we believe that our sins will be washed away. If we do not believe, we will perish. That's the alternatives. What is it to be? Will you seek the Lord? Will you seek the Lord now? Will you seek him on your way home? Will you seek him this evening and not give up ever, ever, ever? There's safety because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, cleanses the believing sinner, yes, the believing sinner from all sin. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord, we need thee. Oh, that our sins would be washed away, that we would be brought to seek thee, that we would be brought to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who did so much, so wonderfully, as a substitute for sinners. Give us thy blessing. Oh, make us thankful for all thy goodness. Go before us this evening. Go before us always. Pardon thou our sin. And help us in every way. And prepare us for eternity. Do a great work in each of our hearts. Lord, remember us. And thee grant thy saving mercy to each and every one of us, whatever our circumstances. Bless thy word. Make us thankful. Make us thankful for the good, for the gospel. And be with us always. And may we be serious about our souls. For Jesus' sake, amen.